Hello, this is Patrick from The Fundamental Principle. We're here today with Jerome and Mike from St. Michael's Operations to talk about self-defense and praxis with it. How are you guys today?
I'm really, really glad to be here. It's good to talk to you again, Patrick. And it's a pleasure to have you back on the program. I mean, we've been following each other on Telegram for quite a while, and you know, you're already at war with principalities and powers. They're after you, so act like it. I mean, that's the sum total of what I have to say about it. I want to hear what you have to say, but these people hate you and want you to die, and they want you to go to hell. So
yep.
maybe start knowing what time it is, because your bishop sure as shit ain't gonna.
Yep. Well, I guess what I'd have to say about that is I brought to your attention and the followers of the channel's attention recently of an incident in Long Beach, California. So I don't currently live in California. However, we've got people posted out there at several different chapels, parishes, and the like. Again, I'm not going to go into details because, you know, OPSEC. But there was, unfortunately, an act of, I guess in this case, thanks be to God, attempted sacrilege rather than actual sacrilege. We were afraid at first that the Blessed Sacrament had been stolen from this parish. It was Holy Innocence, I believe, in Long Beach. And funny enough, we had done, unfortunately, we had just done like 2 days prior a bit of a risk assessment for the area. We've identified that church as a particularly vulnerable place due to kind of lack of existing security measures. And, you know, the fact it's people who may not be familiar with California, Long Beach is, pardon my French, is shitlib central. And there's active Antifa there. And so, you know, it's kind of a matter of if rather than when an anti-clerical or anti-ecclesial attack is going to occur. So we had just identified it. And before we could move to do anything about it, unfortunately, that occurred. I kind of still feel somewhat responsible, but we're reaching out to Father over there, and hopefully we can get something moving forward for them. But we are at war. It's happening every day. Some part of the country, some part of the world, an act is happening. And I know a lot of people that will say, well, it's a spiritual war, and it is. First and foremost, it is. Which is why, you know, I don't call St. Michael's Operations a security company, because that would fundamentally misattribute what it is. It's a protective apostolate, right? It is for the salvation of souls that we do what we do. And first and foremost, right, you have to have that spiritual discipline. And so that's why at meetings, right, we're supposed to pray the Litany of St. Michael, pray the Rosary, Litany of the Sacred Heart, prayer to Christ the King, observing St. Michael's Lent, going on retreat, or on pilgrimage at least once a year, right? You know, these are things that we believe in very much. And I think also this Lent, we got to really knuckle under.
Yes. Septuagesima has already happened. Sexagesima is this Sunday. Lent starts soon. Before we go too much further, actually, if you would lead us in the St. Michael prayer, just to set the proper tone, please.
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. St. Michael, the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. Nomine Patri et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.
Amen. I mean, this is mostly going to be you talking, because neither of us are experts, but just a couple quick notes from me. Let the dead bury their dead, right? If you go to your pastor and express an issue about safety or the safety of the Eucharist or the safety of parishioners, and he blows you off, it's time to find a new parish. I know that for a lot of people, like, finding a good parish is really difficult. There's that whole conversation about, like, what about your geographic parish? And I understand as a parent, that's unacceptable. You need the faith to be taught to your children. More than likely, though, if a pastor takes the faith seriously, he's going to take the physical security and safety of his flock seriously, because shepherds are shepherds. So don't try and like go fix your local territorial parish with the, you know, rainbow felt banners. That there's nothing you can do for those people. Nothing.
Yeah. No. Those people want the people in the handmaid's dresses to show up. I remember what this was 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Gosh, I'm getting old. Where you had all the ladies in the red handmaid's tale stuff showing up the parishes, and the you know, you had ushers like stopping them, and they were saying things such as, "Oh, well, we agree with you, but you can't do that here." It's like, no, we don't agree with you. They want to kill babies. Their masters probably want to eat babies. No, we don't agree with them, right? We want nothing to do with them, right?
Well, like if what they're saying is we believe women should be dressed modestly, kept out of public, and bred constantly, I mean, okay, sweetheart, if that's what you want, because that's what you're saying, right? Oh, all right.
I was wrong. Based. Absolutely based right there.
But that's not what they're saying. Right. Yeah. This is feminists are deeply, deeply confused people. But, you know, there is
first
no living with
their women. You know.
Yeah, of course. But enough about my ribald jokes here. There are churches being attacked. The priests are being attacked. The Eucharist is being attacked. What do we do about it, actual?
Well, once you get past the part where you pray, fast, and do the things you're supposed to be doing anyway, it is time to organize. Now, I, of course, am going to say, hey, reach out to me. Let's actually set up a detachment of St. Michael's operations where you're at. However, I'll be honest, you don't have to do that. It's better, but I would say you don't necessarily have to do that. What you do need are good men. You know, whether or not they are, you know, combat veterans of the GWAT who know how to fight, or, you know, maybe they're just a quiet dad who has the right temperament, the right amount of thumos, the right amount of logos. You need to get together a team, and you need to train regularly. You need to meet regularly. You need to pray together regularly. I know that that's boring and passe, but it's true. And once you've got that going, you can start building from there. I mean, in terms of what should you do when you're training, I would say it's going to be a combination of things. You're going to need medical, right? Go get Stop the Bleed certified. You need to know how to use a tourniquet. You need to know how to do wound packing. If you really want to go the extra mile, you need to learn TCCC and how to do, you know, chest seals and airway securing, and how to do like proper assessments of people. If you really want to go the extra mile, go to EMT school. I know that the medical establishment's not great, but you can still learn very valuable skills there. But not everyone needs to do that, right? That's one example. In terms of other hard skills, I know that there are people that are very like, yeah, go shoot guns. And there, you do need to go learn how to use a firearm. That is part of it. But that's I've done this a million times before. I've pounded the table and I've said, a gun is not security. It's one tool in the toolbox. You need to learn how to fight, right? I think the active club model in a lot of ways far superior than doing the gun club model, because you don't know how tough you are or how capable you are until you are out of breath getting punched in the face repeatedly. And
so
you're still
quote the great philosopher Mike Tyson, everybody got a plan until they've been punched in the face.
Yes, truly a true warrior poet he was. But it's true, right? And learning how to get that fighting instinct. I know there's some people in the Catholic world, they've got their objections to combat sports. I'd say take it up with St. Thomas Aquinas. He pretty much laid the groundwork for why that's not dueling, right? Dueling is like, I'm going to take a saber or a gun and I'm going to engage in either purposefully deadly combat, right? I'm trying to kill you, or I'm going to engage in combat that is reckless, that is likely to produce death. And that's a different thing, right? You don't want to do that to your brothers, but putting on the gloves, getting in the smoke pit, that's a good thing to do.
And I think the intention of that matters too. Like, our intention to sin matters. So it's like, we're not trying to hurt our brothers, the guys we're training with. We're not trying to, we're trying to get better, as a group, as a team. And I think that's where a lot of people don't, their cop out is like, well, what about the they don't want to get hurt, for one, but it's like the cope of, the intent of hurting somebody else. No, you're going as a competitor, fighting your friends. You're not trying to break their arm or,
You might learn how to, but you're not gonna, on purpose at least.
There's so much force that goes into pushing joints and hitting people that it's more people are not as, we're not paper. Like some trads want us to believe.
Well, yep. And
also,
you guys have both felt it, because I know both of you well enough to know that you both actually stepped into the ring, and I have too. Until you've actually had somebody like hit your switch on your chin or get you with that perfect shot in the face where your eyes just go teary and you can't see anything, you have no idea what that's like to have your legs just go, and until you've actually felt that, you don't know. Okay.
And until you fought through that,
Right. And
however you can.
Right. And do you really think that the crazy homeless guy who's possibly oppressed by demons, possibly even possessed by demons, almost certainly on drugs, maybe has bloodborne diseases, do you think he's going to be like, sorry, man, tagged you a little too hard, can't, and back off like a way a good training partner would? Or is he going
to... He's going to try to eat your face. He's going to try to eat your face. He's going to... Yeah, no.
Or hurt your girlfriend or your wife or your kids.
Or your kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's like, is this, are you... You... Wait, let's dial back. So from pints to pipes to a call list, where do we start? I'm a guy who likes drinking too much bourbon and smoking too much tobacco. What do I do here?
Here's a good thing to say. Go to where you have a heavy bag, put on the gloves, try to just punch it at a consistent pace for a minute. That's going to tell me a lot about you. Do you know how to carry yourself? Do you know how to throw a proper punch? And do you have the cardiovascular endurance to move around a little bit for a minute? You'd be surprised how many new people you deal with who, maybe they're software engineers, or, as you said, somebody who loves their pipe and their pint, which, hey, don't we all, who, unfortunately, they're winded. I had a guy I had to give aspirin to because I was worried he was having angina, because he was hitting the bag for a minute. After about 30 seconds, he was gassed. It wasn't even hitting that hard, right? So identify kind of where people are at. If you've got a lot of guys that are physically capable, right? Younger guys, people who are not fat, right? And they can move around. They can fight for 3 to 5 minutes. You've got it going on. You've got it made in the shade in a lot of ways, right? From there, it's about refining technique. However, every once in a while, you're going to have the odd guy who, again, they're going to be gassed out pretty quick. You need to work with that guy. You need to say, hey, stop being fat. Hey, let's go on a hike. Let's go on a run. You need to punch the bag for 2 minutes without stopping. If you stop, you're going to do push-ups. You got to lovingly push them, right? Know the limits. Don't kill the guy. But
gentle bullying is good for him, right? Like, if you can't do 50 push-ups or you can't do 20 push-ups, like, start there. Start with, like, okay, if you can only do 2 push-ups, do 2 push-ups every day. Do 2 push-ups. Do sets of 2 all day long until you've done 50.
Mm-hmm.
And as a guy who's a little bit overweight, because I'm, got a desk job and I'm in my 40s, right? Like, guys in my local AC, bullied me about it, and I started losing weight. There's nothing like the encouragement of a guy who, genuinely wants what's best for you to get guys motivated in working.
There you go.
All right, we don't have to talk about the diet stuff. That's definitely not part of the show. But like getting the diet right, getting the vitamins right, it's a whole thing. Like it's years of studying and just working with a nutritionist. If you're overweight, you know, do the right things. But dialing back to self defense. We sign up, we start losing weight, we're hitting the bag at the local gym, we're pushing weights around. Boxing, Muay Thai, what do you suggest new guys?
Well, it's a good question. I'm partial to Muay Thai. I know a lot of people in our sphere that would say, oh, that's not Western, you need to get rid of that, kicks aren't realistic. I'm going to tell you, as somebody who, again, does protective work for a living, right? I either do that or I push an ambo, right? I've had to kick people. Kicks are great for taking the star trite out of people. Get a good shot to the solar plexus or do a good leg kick and then, you know, get away from the threat. That's going to leave somebody hobbling around because guess what? You can't really train the muscles around your mid femur very well. You can, but they're only going to get so thick, right? So I like Muay Thai. I love boxing too. I think that Muay Thai can be a little complex, right? So what you can do is you can take boxing, show somebody how to throw a jab and a cross, their hooks, their uppercuts, right? Show them how to do footwork, how to keep their guard up, condition them, punch them in the stomach for a minute or something. You know, don't go too hard, right? You're not trying to kill the guy, but you're just trying to get them, you know, conditioned to tensing up their abs when they're getting hit. And then, you know, if after a few minutes of doing something like that, see how receptive they are to, okay, now we're going to start learning how to throw some kicks, right? Some teeps, some elbows, some knees. And see kind of if they're able to adapt to that. I'd say boxing always is, you know, a good foundation. Muay Thai is kind of beautiful. And yes, from there, a grappling component is important too. There's a lot of people that spill a lot of ink about Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and it is a fine martial art, and it has its place, and I'm not going to speak ill about it. I think there's some people that think it's the end-all, be-all. It really depends on the circumstances. If you're dealing with, as you said, the crazy homeless guy that's certainly on narcotics and maybe is possessed or oppressed by demons, you know, if you've got a team of guys jumping on a guy, learning how to do control and kind of arrest, so to speak, techniques is good. Like learning, okay, if there's two of us, one takes the top, one takes the bottom. If there's four of us, each of us take a limb, right, and control that. You don't necessarily need to be like learning how to pass guard when the guy brings out the, you know, sex panther technique, you know what I mean, right? There is a lot of overcomplication of the meta of jiu-jitsu. You need to learn, okay, how can I work from my back? How can I work on top? How can I control joints? How can I pin somebody and render them incapable of harming me and somebody else? And if you do about 6 months of grappling work, whether it's jiu-jitsu, catch wrestling, or something similar to that, you're going to learn that just fine. You're also going to smell a lot of stinky armpits and get mat burn, and you should do that. It builds character.
Now, so while I enjoy those things, those are kind of expensive. Those classes can range from, you know, $100 to, you know, $500-$600 every so often, you know, six mm-hmm. months. One guy, if you could have a vet in your group, or if you were willing to cough the money, I think it's best that one person signs up for the classes and teaches everybody else.
Yeah,
you know, it's therefore you don't have to have a bunch of guys spending their money on, you know, one class together.
Yep,
for sure. I'm spoiled. I actually am a key holder for a martial arts place, so I can just like text the owner and go, "Hey, can I bring the guys through?" And, you know, maybe just give him a small pittance, right? You know, $20 a head or something like that, whenever we want to use it. And he'll work with me on that. Whereas, Yeah.
This goes back to the making friends thing, right? Like, as much as I get really frustrated with a lot of people in the Catholic world who just don't know what time it is, a lot of people do. And, you know, if you've got, you know, go to your local, you know, shooting instructors, right? There's a lot of really great shooting instructors out there. And you say, hey, man, we're with the church security team. Can you give us a break? A lot of people will. If you're like, hey, we're with the church security team. Can we, you know, use the gym on a Sunday afternoon when after church to go over some stuff? A lot of, you know, a lot of gym owners are good, solid Christian guys. And they'll be like, sure, man, you know, and they'll help you. They want to help you. The people who open up a martial arts place or teach firearms safe, you know, like a lot of these people do it because they feel a calling. Like these are not people that are, I mean, there are shit libs, but you know, a lot of them.
Yeah.
There's a lot of shit libs in combat sports.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's funny at the place that I'm keyholder to, right. I started off just training there as a nobody and very quickly was able to get to know the gym owner. He's got a bit of a heart condition. I helped him out with that a little bit or gave him some, again, very low level medical advice or, you know, said, hey, if you ever need me or you need any help, give me a ring. Built that relationship. Funny enough, there were other people at this gym that had like rainbow flag stuff on their water bottles, right? You know, they come with their little sippy cups that have 50 different I'm gay stickers, right? Whether it says BLM or has a rainbow flag or is talking about, I don't know.
I love Paul the Sixth.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oof. 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 Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. It's all various ways of just saying that you're gay. And those guys eventually left because I think they started getting their butts kicked a lot. And they just had bad attitudes. People didn't like them. Right wing people. We supposedly have horrible views and yet we're almost always, you know, maybe not me, but pretty much everyone I've met that's like a Nazi or a fascist is like the most decent guy you've ever met in your life, right? Who works hard and gives a rip about people. So I don't know. It's a funny phenomenon how that works. Well, the self-proclaimed good guys are almost always selfish, self-centered, nasty, rude, legitimately hateful people. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So we've done a year, you know, a year, 18 months of combat sports. We got a good basis. What's the next step? Are we ready for firearm training? Are we ready for medical stuff?
I mean, all of that's going to be trained in parallel, right? Okay. So the idea is for us, it's every other meeting is supposed to be kind of hard skills. And then every other one is more kind of what you might call soft skills or education, right? About different topics. But I would say if you mean things to learn about medical, that's kind of like day one stuff. You need to learn CPR. CPR, they make it look really complicated or whatever in movies. It's pumping the chest. It's really easy. Hands over sternum. Don't put them too low so that you bust it out. Allow for good recoil, 100 beats per minute. If you have no medical training other than that, right? You know, you go two and three quarters inches deep, right? At 100 beats per minute, you're doing more good for that person than if you're standing around hemming and hawing about, oh, I need to go find a bag valve mask and figure, right? No, if you have no other training or if all you have is your hands, use your hands and do hands only CPR. From there, it's, you know, a BLS class. Again, get to know people. Say, hey, we're with the church security class or, you know, not class, church security team. We're looking to get CPR certified. In, you know, St. Michael's case, we're a nonprofit. People, that opens doors when you say, yeah, we're a nonprofit organization. We help out with the church. People will give you discounts, right? Especially if you bring enough people that there's volume. But yeah, the basic life support, I think you should get that. But until you can figure that out, hands only is easy and cheap, and most fire departments will train you on that for free or for very low costs as part of community outreach. I mean, first aid, most first aid training you're going to get is like pretty simple. It's like, hey, if somebody's having a diabetic issue where they have low blood sugar, these are the symptoms, give them sugar water. Mind blown, right? You know, crazy stuff.
Like an orange juice will work.
Yeah, yeah. Orange juice is great. A lot of sugar in that stuff and a lot of vitamins. Or another thing, right? They'll teach you like splinting. Right? That takes a little bit of technique when you're kind of new to it. That also brings up, if your church has a first aid kit or several of them, you need to audit them if you are the lead. Right. I mean, in general, you need to go do a whole security survey. I mean, I've written up a whole thing for that. It's pages and pages and pages of like checklist stuff that I've, you know, used my experience both in and out of the church kind of security world and executive protection and medical and all that to kind of develop and risk management. Right. But, you know, not to like, oh, I'm so smart, right? No, I mean, anybody can do this stuff. A lot of it really is common sense. It's just most people don't have common sense these days. But you need to go, like, if you're talking medical, right, you need to go audit that. If all you find is Band-Aids, that's not going to cut the mustard, so to speak, to borrow a boomer term, right? But it really isn't. You need to make sure that you have some good tourniquets there. Cat sevens, real cat sevens from North American Rescue. I know that is expensive. Those are about $30 a pop. That's not cheap. It's worth it. Guess what? You know what else? You know what is cheap? You dying, you bleeding out. A nice Ginsu knife will do that, right? Dying is cheap.
A serious fighting knife, fixed blade fighting knife of at least 6-inch blade length on a guy who's 5'10 or better, I could hide 5 or 6 serious fighting knives on a guy that big. Yep. Easily. And you want to talk about a nightmare scenario of crazy homeless dude with a serious fighting knife as mass is getting out, just goes to town. And, oh, like, one target. No. Like,
in England and Germany are by knives.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Knife attacks are a huge problem in the UK. Okay, if you've ever done knife training, like real knife training. Yeah, and I have, okay? It is trivially easy to cut someone or stab someone in a life-threatening manner multiple times in under 5 seconds.
Yeah, I mean,
and I'm slow. Training. Like, if someone's fast, they can,
leveraging arm, grab them by the shirt. And by the way, if you on the martial arts thing, sorry to interrupt you. If you ever go to a martial arts place and they start talking about knife disarms, you need to get real worried about that because, like, 9 out of 10 times, that is straight bullshito, right?
Yes.
That is to say, nonsense. Especially if it's like this pre-choreographed, okay, they're going to go down with a slash, and then you're going to do an X block. It's like, no. Here's what's going to happen. They're going to corner you where your back's to the wall. They're going to act like it's a fist fight. You're going to try to throw a hand. You're going to miss. They're going to grab your shirt, drop a knife out of their sleeve, and sewing machine stab the shit out of your solar plexus until you die, right?
We don't mean to be graphic, or I'm sorry if this is squeamish for some people, but this is real. Like, this is, like, tens of thousands of Germans and English have died in the last 20 years because of the exact same thing.
Well, and I'm not an expert.
If they're in arm's reach, they're going to act faster than you can react unless you have your hands up and you know what time it is, right?
Yes, absolutely. But only to say the knife thing, right? Okay, let's just say that it's someone who doesn't know what they're doing. They don't sewing machine stab you, which is the correct thing, is to get up at bad breath distances and just keep going until they stop moving. If they slash with a big knife, like a Bowie or a Kukri or a 8-inch Tonto with a real serious blade on it, a sax, something like that.
Moving in is the solution because that's an intermediate distance weapon. Same thing with bats and batons.
Yes, of course. But it's not one tourniquet per person. It's one tourniquet for a wound that they'll cause you to bleed to death. So you might have 4 or 5 tourniquets on one person. So when you're looking at your, like if your first aid kit only has one set of cats or one set of tourniquets,
you're screwed.
Yeah, you need like 10
yep.
or more. I mean, like this is not.
Yep. The solution is for that, right? Number one, everyone should have IFACs on the team, right? Everyone should have IFACs, at least one tourniquet, at least one thing of hemostatic gauze for each person. From there, the church should have multiple stop the bleed kits, and you should take those out of the sealed plastic that's like impossible to open without shears, because guess what? Those are hard to open enough when you're not in an adrenaline dump state. If you're freaking the heck out because somebody's bleeding to crap, 25 to 30 seconds of arterial bleeding, they're passed out. 2 to 3 minutes of that, they're dead. You don't need to be fiddle farting, so to speak. Again, to use boomer speak, opening that, right? You need to have that taken out of the prepackaged stuff and staged properly. And then if you have a team medic, right, that's an EMR, EMT, paramedic, nurse, doctor, that knows what they're doing, they should have an aid bag with, as Jerome said, about 4 to 10 tourniquets, right, on top of whatever's in the stop the bleed kit and on top of everyone else individually. And their bag should be tooled, leaning more towards kind of mass casualty response, that, you know, they should still have like oral glucose or epi or albuterol for standard medical issues. But, you know, what they shouldn't have is 500 types of Band-Aid and maybe one of these like rats tourniquets that you can get. Those are garbage. Those are good for like drawing blood if you're trying to do some phlebotomy. Those are not good for stopping life-threatening bleeding. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm on my hobby horse here, right? I'm on my soapbox. Do forgive me for interrupting.
No, this is vitally important. And listeners, if you're listening to this program, you know what time it is. Most people, even at your trad parishes, most people do not. They do not understand that if, you know, like, I was thinking about this as weird, like, the parish I grew up at, the current pastor, I went home for Christmas. So I, you know, got in the car and drove and took my kids and saw family and stuff and went to this parish for the first time in quite a while. And he's basically a boomer social democrat. Like most priests. Most priests are boomer social democrats, which is to say that they're basically communists who are kind of stupid, politically speaking. And I suppose possibly, you know, you could be a Kennedy Democrat in 1967 and still be a decent human being or whatever. When you tell, like, he has no clue that, like, hatred of white people and hatred of Christianity is at the heart of the leftist project today. He just thinks, like, oh, the poor, like, never mind, like, the people who are actually following the church's teaching and having children and getting married. And like they don't have any money because they got 7 kids and the wife stays home because, you know, never mind those poor people. We have to help these other poor people because they're brown. Never mind. I'll get off my soapbox. But those, if you're listening to this, you are maybe 1 in 1,000 who even has the slightest clue what's going on. If you showed your average boomer S2 Underground or Western Rifle Shooters or any of the other websites out there that like tell you what time it is or Forward Observer, they would lose their minds. they would have no context for how to deal with this stuff. Now, yours truly has been reading this stuff continuously for 25 years. So I've been inured to it for a long, long time. But normalcy bias is a hell of a drug. And if you tell people, like, you know, the Muslims down the street, they view all of our girls as like grape bait. And they think it's their right to do that. We should watch out for them. Oh, no, you can't say that. They're nice. We go to the interfaith service every year and they pray with us for the poor and for the city. Yeah, well, you know that they're permitted to lie to you, right?
I wonder who they learned that from.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah.
So, and I think.
No wonder the Jews like them so much.
Yeah.
I punched and left a little bit. It's, if you listen to this program and you have gripers in your church, they probably don't know what time it is either. It really is such few people who really do. And it's, you have the moral responsibility. If you're listening to this, you have the moral responsibility to get in shape, to learn how to use a gun, to learn medical stuff. It's not fun and it takes a lot of work. But you have to do it.
And to address the Groyper thing for just a second, there are a bunch of very confused people, and I feel bad for them because a lot of them just basically, it's like a bunch of people who didn't have a dad at home growing up. I mean, basically, and they think that they can find one online, and they think that like that Bishop Williamson and Pope Leo can be their dad, and it's like, I'm sorry, you're a deeply confused person. Leo and Williams and the late great Williamson have completely opposite ideas about what constitutes, you know, the true, the good, the beautiful.
But one of the aura.
Yeah. Right, okay. No. They did. No. Yeah. You need to get off the internet and stop having opinions till you can either bench more than me or have more kids than I do. One of the two, preferably both. But until then, you don't get to talk anymore.
he's got a 350 bench. I've seen it. I promise you.
But funny enough, I mean, I do have friends that are, you might call them bridges with the Groypers, right? Ryan Sanchez with Nationalist Network, for example. He's
good. Ryan's people. a good kid.
Yeah, he is. But
Ryan's a former Marine who's been in the streets and active and stuff, doing things for years.
Yep. I've been with him. Good guy. There are good people there. It, you know, by the same token, there's people like, what's his face? Spexo, who is an obsequious kind of butt kisser of Nick and the like. Funny enough, I've met Nick Fuentes. I feel bad. I almost ripped the poor guy's arm out of his socket. But moving past that. You have these people who, they think that, like, they'll post Bishop Williamson. And I'm like, you realize that guy, that guy is like an asset. I mean, I guess he was kicked out of the SSPX, which is very unfortunate. My priest was actually given holy orders by him, right? So, good man. They, as you said, they're very confused, and they think that you can kind of do both. These are the same people that will attack you if you go to an SSPX mass, a schismatic. It's like, okay, even by the current state of canon law, I can do that. Even if they go in June and say, we're consecrating bishops, and even if the Vatican says, you're excommunicated for disobedience or whatever, by the current standards of canon law, they've basically taken all of the, what you might call, responsibility of discernment away from the laity, right? So don't feel bad. Even if maybe you have your reservations or your worries, you as a lay person are not responsible for this like drunken fist fight that is taking place at the upper echelons of the church hierarchy. It's not your responsibility to do something about that up there. It is your responsibility, however, if you're on the ground and you are disposed to help the faithful where you're at, to help the church where you are at. And you are commanded to do that even before the Second Vatican Council. I mean, I was just reading kind of for funsies guiding principle of the lay apostolate. This was by Pope Pius XII, the 1957, right? I highly recommend it to people. So you do have a responsibility there. So whether you go to a society, parish, or you go to the FSSP or Institute of Christ the King, whatever your thoughts about these things, I'm going to say Catholics are Catholics, right? Personally. And there is a defense of the true, good, and beautiful, even if there are, I think, legitimate maybe disagreements on praxis, right, and preservation and how they're going about it. And so wherever you go, you have a responsibility to protect the truth and to protect the good people there.
And absolutely.
We have far more in common than we do anything different.
Right. You know, well, and I'll simply say this. The Center for Conscious, who I've learned a lot from, actually. If it hadn't been for Father Chicata and the True Restoration Apostolate, I probably would have lost my faith during the worst of the Francis Papacy. But the people, when I say let the better, like the liberal Novus Ordo is not going anywhere. The conservative Novus Ordo has no future. I mean, if you go to Preconciliar Radio, TLM Ryan on YouTube, and just look at the demographics, it's cooked. It's chopped, as the kids say. There is no, like, the new mass will not outlive the boomers by more than two decades. It's just not going to happen. But that's a separate discussion we'll have to have with other people. The thing to know about what time it is at your Latin mass parishes, more than likely, if you see a young guy, he's going to know what time it is. He's there because he's seen stuff adjacent to us online, and he understands what time it is, at least a little bit. And if you sit down with him and tell him, like, look, dude, you know, we've got the church security team here. We're affiliated with St. Michael's operations. If you're not on Telegram, why not? You know, like, you know, and more than likely, a lot of these young guys, they're at the real church because they see the real problems and they want real solutions.
Yep.
And the last thing in the world you should do to these people is soft sell them and tell them, oh, everything's fine. Like, everything's not fine. We are the dog in the burning house. With a, you know, this is fine meme, you know, that we're in the worst crisis since the Aryan crisis. There's the fall of Rome levels of like political disorder and dysfunction going on, or at least follow the Republic type stuff. And if your priests don't know what time it is, you're not obligated to listen to them on political matters. That's not their job.
Yep.
On matters of worldly prudence, of like, you know, Father, I think we should keep the demonically oppressed homeless guy who's threatening to kill all white kids away from the children, maybe, especially since most of them are white. That might just be a good idea. Mm-hmm. And you can talk to me about needing to save his soul after the kids are safe. How's that?
Yep. Yeah, no, I think that you're definitely onto something. We are at a stage where I want to say it's the old order, but really it's kind of the old new order is on the way out. And now you've got kind of a divergence. You're going to have basically, you know, the left, right, the, you know, chaos of the warp taking over in some places, or you're going to have our guys starting to kind of assert ourselves more and more and a variety of spaces as well.
Well, we're the only non-insane alternative, right? And this is to get into the kind of philosophy stuff for just a second, right? What my friends Thomas and Pete call the Nuremberg regime, but really you can call it the post-war consensus. You can call it whatever you want. Globalization, globalism, Zog. It doesn't, I mean, it's all the same thing. Big gay. Global American Empire, whatever you want to call it, it's all the same thing. And at the heart of that is that white European men, particularly religiously motivated white European men, cannot be allowed to politically assert their interests lest the world fall apart. That's right. Any assertion of them in there.
Hold on. You got to pronounce that correctly. White European men of religious of religious disposition that can't be allowed to insist upon the interests lest the wild boyne. I don't know.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's, yeah.
That's probably not the best optics right there. But
well, yeah, and that's I mean that and right, and it is them behind it, and that's why I prefer the term Zog. But whatever.
Yes.
The guys are just like put my guns. Like okay, the guys sure, who sure. do the guys who, I've interacted with the Pro 2A community for. Again, a long time, over 20 years. And they'll talk a lot of shit. And they'll spend a lot of money on guns. But they don't have the fighting spirit that, like, the average dude who does martial arts does.
But they're also afraid to say slurs.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like, and my very first appearance on this program, back when Augustine was still co-host, like, if you won't say power word N, you're not making it. Because... you don't worship Jesus Christ. You worship ends. Like that's the long and the short of where we're at today. And God bless.
You can't say a slur. Like, are you really going to defend yourself against the drugged out black? Are you really going to pull that trigger? If you're like, hey, I can't offend this guy with my words. Can I, are you going to put your life above his and pull,
you know, oh gosh, you know, it's crazy is, I mean, there was that case in Portland where you had a guy.
Oh yeah,
literally, they let the guy who stabbed him, go like off for saying
right. "nigga"
after he'd been stabbed.
Oh, I said the thing, right? After he'd been stabbed. Yeah, after, not even before. After, yeah, you know, imagine getting stabbed. You're like, "oh, you
nigga!"
Oops.
So we are.
Guess,
we are
I'm not gonna no more that. Justice for you.
I'm not going to take that out. I'm not going to edit it out. But we are monetized. So
I do apologize. Well, then you can make it go beep. That's fine. But just know I said it for those listening a month from now when it goes beep. I said it with my chest.
Okay,
he did. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
I'm going to be voted off of the board of directors
for saying Mike's mouth.
For saying that.
Well, but okay. The people who want to like run church security and like okay guys, but who are more offended. This is the witch test, right? You know, if you can't say Christ is Lord, that I don't trust you. But yep. secondly, if you can say Christ is Lord, but you can't say that other word, you're more if you're more offended by that word than taking our Lord's name in vain. Or someone saying GD or something else, taking shots at Our Lady. All right, I can tell you, I'm vastly more offended by someone taking a shot at Our Lady than I am by someone saying power word N. Like way more.
Well, and, it's like that episode of Murdoch.
Yes,
right. The great they had the undead MLK basically saying you could have. You know, our Lord, right? Having horrible things done to him, I'm not going to repeat what was said because it is very offensive. But if you even insult me, it's over for you, right? You know, you can say what you want about Christ, but if you insult MLK, right? Oh, no. Although I've noticed that spell has actually really been broken in the last couple of years, which is pretty nice to see.
Well, for those of us that were in the battle 10 years ago, you know, you're welcome. But and this is right until your priest understands that this is and is on board and Bishop Williamson, God bless him. I miss him every day. Understood what time it was. Well, unlike maybe any other bishop on earth, his loss was a great loss to the world and the church. If you're still trying to argue with someone who doesn't know what time it is. Time to shake the dust off your feet. You know, go, if there's a synagogue near you, throw on a nice collar, make sure you're wearing your scapular. But, you know, on a Tuesday afternoon, if you can, you know, if you get off work a little early, just knock on the door a little early and say, hey, you know, I'm so-and-so and I go to church down the street and I noticed there's been an increase in attack against religious people. And I know that you guys have been, you know, like are under increased scrutiny. There's been lots of anti-Semitism. Like what kind of security measures should we be taking? I guarantee you.
I can tell you.
I guarantee you the Jews have guys with full battle rattle. They have ARs. They have pistols. They have tac kits. They have everything. And part of that's just that they were able to steal taxpayer money to do it. But if you tell the Jews, hey, we need $10,000 to outfit all of our guys with comms equipment and body armor and training for handgun, you know, like, and range time and ammo, they'll have that $10,000 the same day that they asked for.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's insane. I don't know if I said this in the last program. When I still lived in California, I once was looking for a change in jobs. I was kind of stuck at a place where, you know, I guess I'd stepped on a supervisor's toes and he had the ear of the CEO. He was kind of a bean counting type. So I kind of wanted to get out of there. And so I like started sending off job applications or even email inquiries to various companies. So there was one company I sent an email off to and I said, hey, I'm looking for some work. What do you got? And they kind of said, initially they said, oh, sorry, we don't have anything for you. 2 weeks later, they replied, they said, hey, there's been a change. Are you still looking for work? I said, sure. I went up to North Hollywood. This company, this security company, was stationed out of a synagogue. They had 5 squad cars and an ambulance in the parking lot. They had metal detectors and ID checks for everybody going inside, right? For everybody. Bag checks, all of it. For people who've been going there for years. Everything was behind lock and key. It was like a prison, the inside of the synagogue. Now, that is not something I want for our parishes. Please understand. There is a balancing act. But they, as you said, they don't mess around. And yes, they had armed guards. And funny enough, these armed guards also did patrols in these neighborhoods. If for anybody who doesn't know, North Hollywood is basically Little Israel. And they've got all the Jews with yarmulkes and whatever. And these patrols will go by houses and do, you know, lock checks and doorknob shaking. And if it's, if it's Shabbat, they'll go do all the Shabbos goy tasks of turning on and off light switches, turning on and off gas heaters and stuff. So after literally like one day there, I said, thank you, but no, thank you. Left. Didn't even ask for a paycheck. It wasn't for me, but you know, that lets you know just how seriously they take it. I try to ask for any sort of a budget at any place that I've done work at, including places that did have money and they did have a budget for it. And immediate pushback, immediate, oh, well, we don't really want to do that because it'll make people feel. Right.
Can you do an hour presentation on why this is justified and they'll still say no?
Yeah. And the thing is, they do want the security. Please don't misunderstand me. Many of these places do, especially where you have younger priests or priests who do it all the time. What they're worried about is alienating existing parishioners, people who've been going there for decades, who don't want to see those things, right? Understandably so. It'll just, you know, kind of maybe drive those people more towards despair. And, you know, they do want to welcome those who are of good faith. And, of course, the counter-argument to that, of course, is if somebody's of good faith, they're not going to mind there being protection. But so the balancing act is wherever it is legal and possible for me to do so, I have it so that we more or less operate in plain clothes, Sunday best, right? You know, we have, and you'll probably see some of the older stuff, we do have uniforms. We did have a lot of those, and those still exist. And in fact, in California, there is a lot of requirements, like, you know, if you're going to carry certain weapons, you have to be in a uniform, which is kind of stupid. But, you know, whether or not you observe that, you know, choose wisely, as one priest once told me. Right. If you're going to be friends with Dirty Carrie, choose wisely, be prudent. that's not an endorsement of doing that, by the way. Just an admonition, admonishment to be prudent. Okay. So to kind of maybe reset a little bit, unless you guys had any further kind of follow up.
Well, I've just to get in shape, train, first aid, firearms.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything I'm missing there?
Oh, plenty. So, I mean, I should have mentioned this at the start. This is on me. So, for those who are listening and who now are, 45 minutes into this piece, and now they're finally hearing, actually, step one is this. Mea culpa. Forgive me, please. So, number one is, once you have the blessing of the priest, you got to do a comprehensive, risk reward security survey of your parish, right? And we do this at least once a year, for each place that's under protection. That is the policy. And I won't give you the whole survey right now because it's multiple pages and all that. But we have basically different sections. Like section one is governance, ecclesial contact administration. So it goes over what I talked about, right? So your security posture has to, support sacred character, right? So, full battle rattle. And again, unless there's riots going on or the situation dictates it, if we're just talking a normal Sunday mass, you probably don't need guys in bump helms and plate carriers and ARs like out front. Right? That's not, in most cases, that's not going to be necessary. Now, down the line, that may become necessary. Right? But right now, even in the current cultural context that we're in, not a big deal. Right, having a proper emergency operations plan. Like, what are the vulnerabilities of the property you're on? Where are the risks at? Do you have fencing? Do you have cameras? Again, we talked about this a little bit, but in the last one. But in essence, having a full security survey. Right, where are the gaps? Where are the vulnerabilities? What's the risk of that?
Have these done?
What's up?
Are there companies that you can pay to have these done?
Oh, we do that. We do that you can have executive protection firms or risk management firms do it, and they're going to charge you a hefty amount. I take the exact same techniques and I do it as a courtesy. That's how St. Michael's operations gets down. We care about the church. So, we bring expertise to bear. And, you'll never see an invoice for it.
Well, donations are nice. I think that's really important. Sorry for interrupting you. News. Okay. News to me. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yep. So.
And this is step one. Every single church is going to have a different layout, different doors, different risk profiles. Like, every church is completely different. So you have to do the actual risk assessment.
Yep. And a good risk assessment is, you have what's called your T, your V, your I, your threat likelihood. Where the context that we're in the culture that we're in the city that we're in, with the population that we have, how likely is this threat, to occur, right? Is there a history of it already happening? Is it, right? That's something to consider, right? We've had places where Islamic preachers have showed up and threatened our kids and stuff, right? Not cool, right? That's a high threat, right? Because there's now a history of that. That's what we call a 5 out of 5, right? Vulnerability, right? And that, I guess you could say, is so a threat is an outside thing. Vulnerability is an inside thing, right? Threat is external actor. Vulnerability is, right, where's the chink in our armor, right? We're no longer worried about the other guy's sword or his flail. Now we're going, okay, am I carrying a wood shield with some rusty mail, right? Is that what our parish is? Or are we wearing a full suit of armor? Or what do we have going on? And so identifying the chinks in your armor is important. And then the impact. So, okay, say the threat and the vulnerability meet. Right, the sword hits the chink in your armor. Is it hitting it in a place that's superfluous? Right, what's the impact? Right, on people's lives, on the sacraments, on the operations of the church, and that's where when you put all those things together, you get that PB&J, you get your total risk score. Right, based on those things. You know, how we do that in particular is proprietary. But, you know, does that explain it a little bit better? Because I feel like I was a bit vague before, and I'm trying to explain it in such a way that people can go, oh, that makes sense.
I think so.
No, it makes total sense because, all right, I was talking recently, like 2 days ago, with a gentleman who does law stuff in Texas. Okay. MS-13 are Satanists. Not like, oh, pejorative. Like, no, these guys literally worship the devil. If you have no MS-13 in your community, I'm happy for you. They're bad dudes. They're really, really awful people. They worship the devil. They sacrifice children to Satan. Different threat profile than if you have like Nation of Islam. Now, thanks to the Biden Antifa, right? Now, thanks to the Biden administration, almost every major city in America and a lot of smaller ones have all three, right? Mm-hmm. MS-13 and Muslims and Antifa. But, you know, if you can, like, get into your local, you know, it's publicly available information. Your city or your county should have like a gang task force. Be like, what are the gangs around here? What do they do?
Some of that stuff's on Reddit, just public, because the cops won't do anything about it. The two local cities by me, the three local cities have a gang map on Reddit, and it's public information. You know, you can easily Google it or look it up on Reddit. But like the
crime stats too.
Yeah.
For your area, like, and they'll have different colorations, and if yours is in that like deeply not so good colored place, talking about the map here, take that into account, right? But yeah, no, for example, right, yeah, know the threats in your area. At the city level, right? So the thing about St. Michael's is because it's an apostolate that's not just, okay, we're only in this one parish, we're only in this one diocese. The idea is that we're trying to create a model, kind of a shield for the entire church, wherever people will have us, right? And kind of have this drop-in model people can use. The idea is at the city level, what we call the Legion level, you can call it LARPy, that's fine, I don't mind. That's where we have, as you know, Mike Shelby would talk about, your area study, right? A Forward Observer talks about this. Like, this is his like hobby horse. You got to do an area intelligence study, right? And he's correct. So, you know, what you guys are talking about is what he would call the human terrain. Right? Who are the good guys? What are the different good guy factions? Law enforcement, security, assuming number one, the law enforcement in your area is well disposed to you. Not all places have good cops. Go to South Miami. Not a lot of good cops around there. But, you know, who are the good guys? Who are the bad guys? Where are they at? Where are the hospitals? Where are the marinas? Where are the airports? Where are the main thoroughfares? Where can we evacuate to in case of an emergency? Where can we stage at in case of an emergency? All right. Where are our rally points? There's an interesting tool out there. I can't endorse it because I don't know what security they have in place to protect your information. I'm currently playing with it, called ATOC. It was recently pimped out. Not pimped out. That's a bad way of saying that. But it was recently kind of advertised on Dirty Civilian. You guys watch that channel at all?
I'm not familiar.
Okay.
Me either.
Okay. So it's kind of in that gun tube meets prepper meets intel community kind of space on the internet, and YouTube? Yeah, on YouTube.
I'll link
right
in the show notes.
Yep. Dirty Civilian, good people. They did a whole thing on ATOC, which is basically this software where you can like chart and map where your assets are and where the good guys are and where the bad guys are, do sit reps on incidents, do mission reports if you like are, say you're doing disaster relief or something, right? Not every mission is like a kinetic door kicker operation, right? I mean, that's not the function of St. Michael's Ops, at least for right now. Give it 10 years. We'll see. That's a joke to anybody who's listening. That's a joke, but maybe just not a very, hopefully it is. I hope it stays a joke, but you know what time it is, right? But yeah.
Well, it,
do an area study of like your diocese, of your city where you live.
Yes. And it pains me to say this, but most of your priests, not in the friend column, if you're in the diocese.
Especially if they're downtown. They're around the bishop, or they're around the centers of power for a reason. There's a lot of inner church politics that I'm not privy to, but I hear stuff about, and it's you know, obviously if you're closer to the bishop, you're one of his favorites for a reason. The good priests are usually out in the hinterlands, where they can just be left to like the 2 or 3 boomer parish. And it's, you know, just left to rot, or they lose their orders and they go private. It's really kind of scummy what goes on behind the closed doors.
Yeah. Well, and your priests aren't paying attention to this stuff. I mean, they're busy, a lot of them, with a lot of stuff. But also, I mean, even the best of them are like conservative normies. Most of them, I mean, 99% of them. Every once in a while, you run into like a trad priest who knows, you know, it was 271,000 mostly of typhus. Every once in a while, but for the most part, like they're, you know, normies.
That's which okay. They should be,
yeah. And it's a lot of work to like, you know, I've been doing this for 25 years, folks. Like I've read millions of words on this in this space. And that's not like me to brag or anything. I'm just saying it's taken, you know, thousands of hours of to know all the stuff I know. And your priests are busy and they don't know that stuff. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. So you have to be the guy that knows. He's just not going to. Because
mm-hmm.
he, yep. You know, what is it right out of the book of Acts, right? You know. The apostles get pushed with all this worldly stuff. And they're like, look, man, we're too busy saying a mass, hearing confessions and saying the hours. Find us 7 guys that could take care of this stuff for us.
Yep.
And,
I mean, it's better off when the priest is in the confessional than it's looking, watching Rumble videos about this stuff, you know, or listening to the show. I'd rather every priest, be in the confessional or setting up adoration times than listening to the show.
Yeah. Well, again, go read, you know, Guiding Principle of the Lay Apostolate. I mean, it talks about how the lay person is supposed to be kind of the link between civil society and the church, right? We are the church out in embedded in every part of society. And that is what we're supposed to be, which is why when people talk about the Benedict option, I always go, okay, well, what do you mean by the Benedict option? Because there's like 2 understandings of it. The first understanding is, oh, well, me and my 10 kids go live on a farm in the middle of nowhere. We go to a rural chapel and we just do that forever. And that's it. And okay, fine. Like there's room for that in the church. Please don't.
Dear listener, no matter how like effeminate and punchworthy Roger, you think Roger is, I assure you he is even more effeminate and his face is even more punchable in person.
Oof. but right, you know, so there's that. That's one understanding. I would say, okay, fine. There's plenty of room for people living the rural trad life. I love that. I think it's a beautiful thing. Not against that. However, the Benedict option, properly understood, is all about, okay, we're retreating from the population centers to the hinterlands in order. Hey, buddy. Sorry, my son just walked in. What's wrong? Give me a second.
Yeah, if you gotta go, we can go.
No, it's fine. So the idea is you go from the population center to the hinterlands in order to kind of regather, right? To do a strategic retreat, regather your forces, and then okay, now that we've gathered a certain amount of power, right, spiritually speaking. And we've reinforced the Christian life and we're kind of free of corrupting influences. We're going to now go and enter the cities once more and take them back. Because for better or for worse, unfortunately, the way that human civilization is set up, cities are what kind of dictate the tempo of society and culture. And if the cities are beautiful and sanctified and the people
that's where the cathedrals are and the universities and the,
exactly, you know. Right. It's, you know, we should not hate cities because they're cities, just like we shouldn't hate the government because it's the government. We should hate these things as they are now because they've been corrupted. They've been ruined. They've been warped beyond what they were supposed to be. And so I think the majority of people who are leaving the city, you know, okay, fine. If you find that you have a real knack for farming and husbandry and you've got the land and the money and all that, okay, fine. More power to you. That's a good thing. However, I think the majority of people doing that, and I would include myself, you know, I'm kind of on the border between the rural and the urban area, right, where I'm at, is all about, okay, we've got this slight parallel area. Let's gather what we have and let's re-evangelize and take back the city. And that really should be our our goal in the long run, right? That's what the apostles did. They didn't say, okay, we're going to stay in the countryside, guys. No, they went to the big cities of the ancient world. And, you know, a lot of them were killed for their trouble. But God bless them, they set the foundations for Christian civilization.
Absolutely. And we're all better for it. You know.
Yes.
I think that's. Is there anything else you wanted to cover? Or we can.
What other questions or thought processes do you have? I mean, there's a million things I could probably talk about with this stuff, as it is kind of my area of expertise, if you want to call it that.
So okay. Real quickly, if you could name, like. Other than the obviously must follow St. Michael's Operations Telegram channel, just one resource in the area of fitness, one resource in the area of intelligence, and one like follow on YouTube for medical stuff, just to get people started.
Okay, cool. So just to get it through. So especially if you're interested in like combat fitness, I think Shane over at Fight Tips is a really good guy to follow. So if you go on YouTube and look up Fight Tips, there is a guy called Shane, and he's produced a lot of these like shadow boxing things for Muay Thai and for boxing. Because as you guys said, a gym membership is expensive, right? I mean, everybody can try to find their local MMA gym. Where I was at, it was like $115 a month. Some people can swing that. A lot of people can't. I stopped paying for that. I'm still a key holder. Like I still have the owner on speed dial. So if I ever need to, like I can still work something out. But, some people like, yeah, go get like a shadow boxing thing and learn the technique, right? You can do that in your own home. Push-ups are free. Sit-ups are free. Running is free.
Jump rope will blow you up.
Oh, I hate jump roping so much, but it is good. It's great for your cardio and it's great for your like mind body connection and overall
great for your feet. Fitness. Man.
Yep. Yeah. You have to have the right height for it. Right. You know, me being over 6 foot, finding a good jump rope, right. That was always like a difficulty. I'd have to size it every time. Definitely caught myself a few times when I got started. Okay. Okay. So that is a fitness thing, right? I mean, number one, again, fitness at home is free. Number two, if you want to learn how to throw some elbows and some punches and some kicks, Fight Tips, Shane's great. Number two, I guess, intelligence stuff. The Area Intelligence Study, I believe is what it's called, or Area Intelligence Handbook by Mike Shelby is a great resource. I would also throw in as a free bonus this one you're gonna have to kind of tailor.
Hold on, we can't it's not picking up. Give me a second.
Sorry. Another one that's a good resource as a free bonus is the Executive Protection Advanced and Logistics Guidebook version 2.0 from the Board of Executive Protection Professionals. Now, This one is more like, hey, you got to transport father somewhere or protect the bishop if there's a good one coming to town. Or, again, learning how to do site surveys, right? I have a whole bunch of, I mean, I have a whole bookshelf of this stuff, so I'll try not to bore you. I think I sent an effort post to Jerome the last time we did this, so we can always repost that too. And then in terms of medical, I would say Prep Medic on YouTube is a good one as well. He's a SWAT paramedic who he kind of got me into tactical medicine, right? Which is why I have all the little certifications and stuff on my wall about that. but you know, if you really want to up your game and like go do some hands-on stuff, it's gonna cost. But I could always recommend some places for that too. Like, for example, if you wanted to go to like a good tactical medic school, strategic operations in San Diego is pretty cool. It's kind of hard to get into, but I went there 5 years ago. It was awesome. And then I went to another one 2 years ago in Illinois that was really awesome. So, you know, learning how to do combat or tactical medicine is, it's essential. Not everyone has to have the same amount of training, but it's essential. Okay. So that was probably about clear as mud. So to summarize it,
I'll put this up in the show notes too.
Okay, cool. Awesome. All right. Anything else?
So I think what we can do, and if you're willing to come back, I'll, listener, would you email us questions for Mike and we can give him the questions. We can go over our third installment of this, fourth installment of this. A little more in detail.
Yeah. If you're listening, you know what time it is. And that is the most important thing to do. That is always the first step, is admitting there's a problem. And if you're earnestly seeking, you know, the truth in the church or the truth in the world, those of us who've been there before, we want to help you. That's why we do what we do. And I want to thank Actual for being on. You know, there's been a plethora of information here that I think has been really, really valuable. And if nothing else, for your own peace of mind, listener, knowing that your parish is a little bit safer and that your wife is a little bit safer, your kids a little bit safer, it's a weight off. And I strongly, strongly encourage everyone to follow Sam Michael's operations on Telegram. They're a must follow channel for me. I read them every day that they put something out. You know, and ask questions, you know. I certainly don't know everything. But
you know what? I'm feeling very generous today. So you know what I'll do as an value added. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put out a copy of our comprehensive risk scored security survey checklist. And while we preferably like to keep this in house, there's nothing in and of itself that is shockingly controlled information. So I'm going to put it out there for you guys to use however you need to. Again, this is not going to expose any of our other protectees, although it does take experiences that we've had into account. So let
me see if Thank I can you. Find it. Of Very course. Generous.
And it is posted. I will put that under our pinned section. There you go. So feel free to forward that. It's a free resource for everybody to use.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. I'm glad we could have this on. You know, God bless everybody.
We're going to close with an Ave, and I want to just thank Mike for being on. And dear listener, you know, it's good to know things. It's good to know that about the 271,000 and typhus and not, you know, everything that you learn here, you know. But on a practical level, if you can't go to mass because there's communists and Mohammedans and pagan Hindus controlling your city, and they make it more difficult, they will eventually get to the point where they're making it more difficult. Look at what the Hindus are doing in India right now. the more Hindus you get in your area, the more they're going to turn wherever you are into India, which is going to include the persecution of the church. The Mohammedans, not the biggest fan of our Lord. The Jews, certainly not big fans of our Lord. So, you know what time it is. Find the guys that are around you, proximate to you. And, you know, you don't need to give them the full speech about the 271,000 and typhus and bombed railway lines and the stab in the back and all that. Just let them know that, you know, there are problems that need to be solved, and they need to be solved by groups of men, like every other problem in the history of the world has been solved. And I want to take action.
Prayer empowered. Yep. Prayer empowers. It does not replace action. Sorry.
Yeah. Let's close with an Ave, and thank you very much for being here.
Of course.
Ave Maria, grazie plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tuum, mulieribus, benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus.
Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Patrick.
God bless everybody. Goodbye.